Hey, good morning, everybody. Awesome. If you aren't familiar with me, and my name is Ken Roberts, and I've had the chance to speak here quite a few times over the last 4 or 5 years. And so Jim called me about a month ago and asked me if I'd be a part of this, and I'm honored to be here. I always love being here at the Church of the Open Door. We feel at home here with you. We love what you are about. I love the emphasis of this church. I love the testimony in the region. I've been around for a long time. In case, again, if you don't know me, I pastored for 33 years, and 25 of those years, I pastored a church here in Cleveland, Ohio, on the west side of Cleveland. I was there for 25 years. I was the point leader, and then I moved to Minneapolis, Maple Grove, a northwest suburb, and I was there for about 8 years and pastored there. And now I've been back in the area about 7 years, it'll be 7 years at the end of this month in June that I moved back from Minneapolis, and I moved back for several different reasons. I felt like that I was in a different season of my call of God in my life. Was asking the question, God, what is the my kingdom contribution in the next, 10, 15, 20 years of my life? And I also moved back because a lot of my family's here. My in-laws live here. My sisters live here. But most importantly, I have 3 grandchildren who now live here, 7, almost 4, and 1. So that will move you back as well. But what I do now, I still travel and speak some, not a lot, but at churches. But what I mainly do is I help pastors and Christian business leaders navigate seasons so they ultimately finish well. There are about 2 seasons that most leaders get stuck, and I kind of, you might say, focus on those or specialize on that. That when a leader gets stuck in a season of chaos, conflict, uncertainty, and they're not exactly sure they're going through kind of whitewater, I often walk with leaders through that season. I've had that season of my own life. My late wife was killed in a car accident 19 years ago. We had just built a large church in North Olmsted. So I know as a leader what it means to kind of navigate through those. So that's one. And the second is when a leader hears what's called convergence. And convergence is when a leader's trying to figure out what's next for them. What is that sweet spot for my life? How do I enter into that? How do I find out what it is? How do I steward my life well? And I help leaders figure that out and move to that. So that's really who I am. You guys have been in a series called Learn to Breathe. And I love this series, and I've been tracking it with you. This is the 3rd teaching in the series. And so I watched it online of 2 weeks ago. And the last week, my wife and I, Missy, who's here with me this morning, we came and we were part of it. So I've kind of been the flow, really what you're doing and where you're at. And I'm really looking forward to sharing with you this morning. If you would turn your Bibles, if you do that, or your app, or whatever you do it. And if you would turn to Luke chapter 4, that's where you've been, to Luke chapter 4. And I want to talk to you today about the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. That's what Jim asked me to speak about when he called me about a month ago. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So you've been talking about the fullness of the Spirit. You've been talking about being led by the Spirit. And if you haven't seen those, I'd encourage you to go back and really watch those online. They will help you to kind of get in the flow of this. And then he asked me today to speak on the power of the Spirit. And also the other campus pastors are also speaking live today at your other campuses. And they're speaking on the same topic. So if you would do something for me, if you wouldn't mind standing, I know you've been sitting and standing quite a bit, but because we're here and those who are online can also participate in this, but other campuses, they're on their own this morning right now. If you would do this for me, if you don't mind, you have the Bible as well, so you can continue to keep that open. But if you don't mind, and I know people are at all different places here in your journey with Jesus, I understand that totally. But if you wouldn't mind opening your hands and just opening them up to the Lord. And it's really a sign. It's been all throughout the church for a long, long time. It's a spiritual practice of the church, so this is not anything new or weird, but as a sign of your openness to the Word and to the Spirit. And I always say, and I pastored for many years, as I said, and I grew up in it. My dad was a pastor, for I've been in the church for a long, long time. Church is a dangerous place. And I say that using a double meaning there. It's dangerous because when we come regularly, we can get in the routine, and it's just another Sunday, and we did our hour, an hour and 15 minutes, and we know what's going to happen. We sung 3 songs, and we did communion, and we're going to do the outline, and Pastor Jim's going to teach, and we're going to end in some way. We're going to go home. We'll come back next week, etc. So church is a dangerous thing because we can really get lulled into the lack of faith or expectation of what God wants to do. It's also a dangerous place because God can really, in a great, good way, ruin our life. He can change our life. I've seen many, many people, mine included. I say it this way, get dramatically hit by a Mack truck by the gospel, and it changes their life. And so I don't want to just go through the motions this morning. Again, I know Jim well. I've known Jim for a long time. He knows me well. He trusts me, or he wouldn't ask me to be here. I honor you and honor you as a church and honor you as a culture. But I'm asking the Lord to be with us and that we would hear by the word and also by the Spirit. Now, those two things I'm already preaching. I'll get there in just a moment. But those two things, they are closely wed together. The word and the Spirit are closely wed together. We need both. But it's the Spirit by the word that brings transformation. It's not only the word that we hear, and it's not only the word that we understand, which we need to understand. Doctrinally, we need to be very clear on what the Bible teaches. But it's the word that is breathed on by the Spirit that brings transformation. Okay? And so what I want us to do is we open our hands. I want us just to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and really to lead us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here with us. We feel you strong in this place through, you know, the worship time and communion time, your presence. You are here, and so we welcome you. And we all, with our hands open and our palms up, maybe we haven't done this much, but it's just an expression to say we want you and we need you, and we thank you for that in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for doing that with me. The scripture that you've been in for the last 2 weeks, if you have not been here, haven't been tracking it, has been this scripture in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And you've been speaking, Jim's been speaking on these two different topics. And the first one is Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. And he gave a whole week to explain what that is. And that's kind of where the series comes from. Learning to breathe. And it's the idea of breathing in and breathing out the Spirit of God. That's where it comes from. And Jim makes a great analogy. I've read his book, Learn to Breathe, many years ago. He makes a great analogy that our spiritual life, learning to breathe the Spirit in and out, is an analogy to our physical life. You and I are breathing this morning, and if we didn't breathe, we would die. And the same thing is true spiritually, is we want to be full of the Holy Spirit, so we're breathing in and out the life of God. I am breathing in and out the air of God, but I'm also breathing in and out the life of God. And for a believer, that breathing never ends. It's not just one encounter with the Holy Spirit and then now a little fill up now and again, but it's an ongoing 24/7 learning how to walk with Jesus as we are breathing in and breathing out the fullness of the Spirit, and that's what he's been teaching on. So Jesus, not Jesus the divine, but Jesus in his humanity, he was on the planet, and the only thing he could do was do it by the fullness of the Spirit. He didn't have an extra trigger to turn on and bring the Son of God, now I'll do it in the divinity. He did it just like Ken Roberts walking on the earth, and he did it full of the Spirit. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, that he was led by the Spirit. So not only full of Spirit, but led by the Spirit. Again, Jim did a great job last week. I was here showing how Jesus was led in very natural and very practical ways throughout his life. From city to city, from miracle to miracle, from teaching to teaching, that he was not only full of the Spirit, but he was daily, in very practical ways, led by the Spirit. And then this was what we're all teaching on today at the different campuses. Jesus went into the temptation. This is the verses in between these. And the Bible says that he came out on the other side. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. So we have full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and now we have the power of the Spirit. When I was watching this online 2 weeks ago, the first one, and when I was here last week and knew I was going to be speaking this week, I kept having a question in my mind that I kept asking, and here's what I want to talk about today. The question was, I want to ask the question, what's the big deal? Why does it even matter? Okay, you have your outline, and you want to fill that in if you would. Just follow with me to be helpful in my teaching and be timely in it. But if we're full of the Spirit, great. Love the theological understanding. If we're to be led by the Spirit, thanks for the clarity of how Jesus walked and how I can walk in it. And if we're to live by the power of the Spirit that Jesus did, those are all great ideas and biblical understandings that we need to understand. But I kept asking the question, what's the big deal? Why does it even matter? Now, let me just say this to you, and I've said this to you, you know, honestly, but with hopefully a little bit compelling. Without that question in your own life and the application, the theology doesn't mean a whole lot. It actually makes us know things, but application is what brings transformation. You can see that all throughout sports and anything else. It's when we practice something, when we apply something, that's when we grow into it. So as we ask the question, why is this important to me? I'm going to try to answer that, and I'll move through my points, but I want to stop where I feel like I need to stop so I can share my heart. But let me give you three reasons why this even matters. Fullness of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and operating in the power of the Spirit, why it even matters. Let me give you three. And the first one is to live and grow in the nature and likeness of Christ. Now again, Pastor Jim hit this 2 weeks ago, that you and I cannot become more like Jesus, which I would say to you is his number one goal for us while we're on the planet. And there's scriptures throughout that would show that. But as we accept Christ, learn to walk after him, that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And there's several scriptures, we're going to look at them. Romans 8, I'm going to just go through some real quick. Those who live according to the flesh, that is our natural means, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with, here it is, the Spirit has their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You, however, if we come to Christ, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So he's saying, I can't do this in my natural flesh. I grew up in the church. I've been saved for almost 60 years. I got saved at the age of 7. I'm 66, 59 years. But what I realize is no matter how much I know, I cannot do it apart from the fullness of the Spirit in my life. And that's what Paul teaches. He goes on to say, Romans 8, 13, for if you live according to the flesh, now you can be saved and still live according to the flesh because you're not operating out of the fullness of the Spirit. You are letting the flesh still control you instead of the Spirit control you. He says you will die, but if you by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, then you will live. Learning to breathe. I want to become more like Jesus, so I'm breathing in the Holy Spirit and learning to live out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If not, what will I do? I will live out of the fullness of Ken Roberts, which is a bad thing. And I will not become more and more like Christ the longer I go on the journey. No matter how much Bible I know or how many times I come to church, which are all helpful, but it's learning to allow the Holy Spirit to govern me. And the more that he governs me, then I'm able to move into the likeness and the nature of Christ. Okay? Galatians 5, another one. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There it is, the Spirit or the flesh. For the flesh desires what God was contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. We can't go to the rest of scriptures, but the rest of them show the work of the flesh, things that are carnal, versus the work of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, etc. And the only way you and I can get there and become more like Christ is by the fullness of the Spirit breathing in and out and then an operation in our life. Anytime Ken Roberts gets into the flesh, he moves away from the likeness of Christ. Okay? So this is a very important. This is why this topic is important. Let me give you one of the scripture on this point. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Here it is. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now watch this. This scripture isn't necessarily about whether we drink or not. This scripture is about what are we full of. That's the contrast. It's not whether we drink wine or you think wine is. It says, if you're full of wine, guess what? You're going to do foolish things. It's going to lead you in a direction because that's the fullness that you're in. You're inebriated because of that, okay? But he contrasts it. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which is leading to debauchery. Instead, the contrast, be filled with the Spirit. And again, Pastor Jim's been pulling this out. It's not just like one time be filled with Spirit. The Greek language there is the ongoing filling, the ongoing breathing. So I can drink wine and fill up there and do stupid things, or I can have the ongoing breathing of the Spirit, and it will lead me to a different outcome and a different outflow. And here he basically tells what the outflow is. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music for your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, everything in everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the point. You can put wine in and you're going to do foolish things because that's what's going to fulfill you. Or you can breathe in constantly being filled with the Spirit and it's going to lead to a different outflow. Something different's going to come out of your life. So that's point one. That's the first reason. Now, I've got my bike here. Everybody wants to ride my bike here. This is actually my bike. I want to use it for an illustration. I am all about us growing in the likeness and nature of Christ. Matter of fact, I think we need more of this in the church world, not less. That's one of the emphases I love about Church of the Open Door is your emphasis on discipleship and growing up into the nature of Christ. So we need more of that. I travel the country and do workshops called FORM, a practical guide for becoming like Christ. How do we do this thing? I'm writing a book on it right now by the same topic. So I really, 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 really believe in it. So if you think about it in your life, that's the front wheel. Let's just call it the front wheel. I want to give you an illustration, okay? So it's very important, and one of the reasons that this whole thing, full of Spirit, led by the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit is so important, is so that you and I can live and grow in the nature of Christ. And you will not be, and you cannot be, apart from the breathing in and the breathing out of the fullness of the Spirit. Let me give you the second one. The second reason why this is important, as I begin to ask myself, is to be led by the Spirit. Now again, Jim talked about this last week, so I won't get into a whole lot, but I can give you the same, you know, the very same verses, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. These are the verses that we just looked at. For me to be led by the Spirit, I have to be full of the Spirit and then make the decision at the time whether I'm gonna let the Spirit lead me or Ken Roberts lead me, okay? Now let me tell you, because there's a lot of confusion on this, and I think this kind of somehow dilutes this point or this idea. Oftentimes, let me tell you two things that being led by the Spirit does not mean. This is in your outline, so if you want to write it down. Here's two things it doesn't mean. Number one is it doesn't mean you're mechanical, okay? So a lot of times we think about being led by the Spirit is we're mechanical. Should I go to my sister-in-law's house this afternoon, which is where I'm going? Should I swim with my grandkids this afternoon? Should I have Chipotle this afternoon, or should I have pizza this afternoon? And we make this idea to be very mechanical, and it becomes robotic. I got to be led by the Spirit. And should I make the phone call or not? Should I go to work today or not? And again, we have some far out, you know, teachings on this at times. So it doesn't mean being mechanical. And the second thing it doesn't mean that it's mystical, that it's disconnected from reality, that we are somehow a monk or a saint, or God has to speak to us about everything, or we don't do anything until we hear his voice. Those are two extremes on the pendulum. So to be led by the Spirit is that we become very mechanical or we're very mystical. Spiritually, we're very mystical. Here's what I would say what the fullness of the Spirit does mean in a good way to think about it. It means what we are full of is what's going to influence us, direct us, or lead us. So a good way to get the idea of led by the Spirit, again, out of the super spirituality, the mechanical or the mystical, is to think about it this way: being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, what we are full of is what's going to influence us, direct us, or lead us. Now let me give you a few illustrations. If I am full of Ken Roberts, guess what's going to lead me? If I'm full of my own ambition, guess what's going to lead me? If I'm full of lust, guess what's going to lead me? If I'm full of anger, guess what's going to lead me? So it's the idea of what fills us is what's going to influence us and what's going to lead us. So this whole idea of being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, I would say being led by the Spirit, Acts 4:1, is a byproduct of being full of the Spirit. It's not separated from. When I am breathing in and breathing out, when I'm living in that way, the majority of my life, the 24/7, when that's what I'm full of, then I am influenced by the Spirit. I am directed by the Spirit in a very natural way, and I am led by the Spirit. But when I am not, same with you, but when I am not, when I am full of lust, lust is contrary to being full of the Spirit, and it will lead me and influence me in different directions. If I am full of anger, anger will take me to a place that the fullness of the Spirit will not take me. He'll take me to a different place. So actually, we are led by, we are full of, is what's going on, influences us or directs us. How do we do this? I'm always a how guy. Theology without practice leads us to pride and self-righteousness and actually spiritual deception. I'll say that again. That's not in your outline, but that was pretty good. Knowledge without practice, spiritual knowledge without practice leads us to pride, self-righteousness, and spiritual deception. So we have to ask, if this thing is important, why does it matter? I've given you two reasons. But if it's important, then how do we do it? Let me give you some ideas. Number one, first of all, we have to want to be full of the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit doesn't just happen. It doesn't just plop down. It doesn't happen by osmosis. In Jim's book, Learn to Breathe, he talks about that. We don't simply become full of Spirit because we're around church. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You and I have to want to be full of the Spirit. Here's why that's so important. Everything else wants to fill us up, but the fullness of the Spirit. Think of how much attention other things want, all of our attention. Think of how many distractions, how many things come at us that we want to fill ourselves up instead of the fullness of the Spirit. So you have to begin by saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus who is full of the Spirit. You don't have to do it now, but it's going to be in your small group, I think, if you're in a small group, which I hope you are. But to ask yourself the question on a scale of 1 to 7, how much do you want to be full of the Spirit? 7 being high. But think about that. You can be honest and honest with God because he knows your thoughts anyhow in your heart, but you can say, I only want a little bit, enough to convince my wife that I'm kind of in this spiritual thing, but I don't really want to be led and directed and full of the Spirit. I'd rather have just a little bit in the glass, and then I want to kind of do my own thing. You have to be honest. So it starts with the heart. God, I want to be someone who follows you and becomes more and more like Jesus. I really do. But to do that, I have to realize I have to breathe. I have to learn how to breathe in and breathe out and live in the fullness of the Spirit so that it's the Spirit that basically fills me up and dominates my life. That's the first thing you have to ask. The second thing you have to ask, we have to have regular rhythms and practices for filling up. Now, I got my bike down out yesterday, and it had been in the basement in the laundry room for the winter, and yesterday I rode it yesterday afternoon. So I got it out, brought it to the steps, and brought it up, and guess what? The tires, both of them were flat and had to be filled. They weren't that way when I put it down there. And again, Pastor Jim made the same point last week, I think, is that for all of us, there is a leaking that happens. I got to tell you, you're the same. I'm full of Spirit some days more than other days. Now, the Spirit's always there, always dwelling in me. I don't want to teach heresy. But I'm more in tune with the Spirit and more allowing the Spirit to govern, which is another way to think about it. I'm more in tune and more allowing the Spirit to govern in my life. But if I didn't have regular times and practices of filling up, guess what? I could come to church and get a little bit of spurt. It won't do it for the whole week. So we have to regular times of filling up by the Spirit. Again, you see this in the Word. Let me give you some ways and some practices. These are not in your outline, these particular ones, and it's not an exhaustive list. But here's some practice and some ways that we fill up. We fill up by prayer or by conversation with God. It's a back and forth conversation. We fill up, obviously, by the Word. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. We are taught and we feed upon the Word of God. The Bible talks about that as we chew on the morsel that feeds my spirit. I'm being filled not with knowledge only or with good thoughts or doctrine, but it's a living book that I'm eating. As I'm eating it, it's filling my spirit up. Now, I can either feed on that book or I can watch pornography. I'll be full of something. I can either feed on that book or I can feed on entertainment. I can either feed on the book or I can feed on, you put the name in. But it's the word, that's the regular rhythms and practices that fills me up and that feeds me memorization, meditation of the word, worship, community, your spiritual community, the Sabbath, silence, solitude, breath prayers, there's so many more. I want to add one more, and if you just write it down underneath that point, just write it down if you would, I think it'd be important. We all need ongoing, fresh spiritual encounters. And I won't try to explain this a whole lot, but because it's different for everybody. But at times, all of us need to know that we have had a fresh word, a fresh encounter, a fresh experience with the Holy Spirit. That there's something new, that my communion with the Holy Spirit, just something just happened. There was a new energy and engagement with the person of the Holy Spirit. I just had a new, a fresh encounter. I don't want to only live out of my past encounters. Ongoing filling of the word and of the spirit. So how do we do this? Let me give you one more. One more. We have to practice in the moment. We have to practice in the moment. So how do we be full of the spirit? How are we led by the spirit? We have to want to be full and want to be led. It's our choice. Number two, we have to have regular practices and rhythms of being filled or refilling. But number three, then we have to practice in the moment. Let me give you a real quick story. I'm watching my time, but we only got one more point. When my late wife was killed in a car accident 19 years ago, I was 47 years of age. We'd been married 25 years. Just built a huge building with a big mortgage in North Olmsted and been in it 9 months when the accident happened. My life as a pastor and a leader was turned upside down. And I faced pressure and stress like I'd never faced before. I was a full-blooded male, now no longer with a partner, to walk with me in every dimension, in any dimension. And yet I had this pressure on me. And I never experienced temptation, I would say, to the degree that I experienced then. Do you know when you're under stress is one of the enemy's greatest moments for tempting you? And what God gave me an idea, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit that gave me the idea. I had never read this. I had never heard it talked about. God gave me an idea, and he gave me an idea to put a nail representing the cross, a little spike in my pocket. So every morning when I got up and got dressed, I would put a nail in my pocket and I would wear it all, I would have it there all day. And when I would go to bed at night, I would put it on my nightstand and pick it up the next morning. And I did that for a year, entire year. And what the Lord taught me on that is in the moments when I was tempted, I would put my hand in my pocket and I would touch the nail and I would decide what I was going to allow to lead me. Would I allow the fullness of the Spirit that was in me, the Holy Spirit, to lead me, or would I allow temptation, lust, anger, envy, impatience? What is it? You have to practice in the moment. We grow in the middle of the conflict. We grow in the valley. We grow in the tension, not on the mountaintop. So the way that you learn to be led by the Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit is you have to want to. You have time, regular times of filling up, but then you have to practice it, and you have to practice it in the moment. I now more and more, and I'm not a saint yet, but I now more and more, my natural response is by the fullness of the Spirit, not the fullness of Ken Roberts. But that didn't happen just by one encounter. Had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, now I'm a saint. That happened by ongoing filling up, word, prayer, etc., all those things. But then practicing in the moment, when I want to be angry, when I want to put other people down, when I want to be critical, when I'm led in, what will I decide? And the more that I decide, I'm going to allow the fullness of the Spirit breathe in and breathe out to govern me, then my more natural inclination in a supernatural way, you might say, is to respond to the leading of the Spirit. Now, this is helpful. Nobody has to shout or say amen yet, but this makes a world of difference in our spiritual journey. We can know the word, we can sing the songs, we can go to the groups, but it has to do with what am I going to allow to govern me? How do I choose in the moment? And am I taking regular times to be full of Spirit? Now, let me give you the third one. And the third reason is what we're all speaking on today. I wanted to get there. I won't be long on this. But it's to be full of the Spirit, Luke 4:1, and to be led by the Spirit, Luke 4:1, which Jesus did, which again, I've said to you, I think being led by the Spirit is a byproduct. It's the natural outcome of being full of the Spirit. Because what I'm full of is what's going to influence me, what's going to lead me, what's going to direct me. But the third reason why this is so important is that we are to serve in the power of the Spirit. And this is where the language has changed in Luke 4 from 1 to 14. Jesus went into the wilderness, into temptation, and then he came out. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. Why do we need, again, back to what matters, what's the big deal? Why is this not just a theological truth, or even more so, a truth that a lot of the church fights over? But why is it that you and I need, like Jesus, to move in the power of the Spirit so we can serve in the power of the Spirit? Jesus basically explained it right there in the text. And again, Pastor Jim will get here next week because this is where you're going. But after he came out of temptation in the full power of the Spirit, he went to the synagogue and he read Isaiah 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." For what reason? Why? Why? "Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I don't have time to get into this. Pastor Jim probably will. But Jesus pulled out a text that everybody listening knew he was talking about, the kingdom of God, which was the rule of God, the breaking in of God. They were waiting for a natural king and a natural kingdom. But Jesus says, what you're about to hear is I'm the Messiah, and the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the breaking in of God is about to happen through me. And that's why they got so upset in the next couple of verses. And so what Jesus did throughout the rest of the book of Acts and throughout all the Gospels, what did he do? Again, I'm being a little bit cynical in this to make the point. He didn't just go around making people nice little Christ, nice little good people. Jesus went around declaring, mean preaching, and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Every place he would go, he would preach about the kingdom. It was his central message. It's used over 100 times in the Gospels. He would preach about the kingdom, and then he would demonstrate the kingdom. How would he do that? He'd heal somebody. He'd raise the dead. He'd cast out a demon. He'd heal the blind person. So he declared and he demonstrated the kingdom of God. How did he do it? He did it by the fullness of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit in the power of the Spirit. So again, we have to ask, I'm seriously asked myself this question the last 2 weeks as I've been listening to Pastor Jim teach in my own life. Why does this matter? Why is it important? Okay, throughout the Gospels, so we see Jesus full of Spirit so he can serve in the power of the Spirit for the purpose of declaring and demonstrating the kingdom. Okay, let me give you a parallel real quick. Okay, I got a few minutes left. Let me give you a parallel real quick. Jesus in Luke was in the power of the Spirit so he could declare and demonstrate the work of the kingdom, right? Acts chapter 1, which we know that Luke wrote both Acts and Luke, says this, in my former book, Theophilus, he was writing to the same person, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. It's implied there, Jesus started it, the church continues it, we continue it. Jesus started it, the church continues it, we continue it. all Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about, now watch this. You're going to see it with different language. Watch the interplay between the word kingdom and spirit. Kingdom and spirit. Kingdom and spirit. It was his central message, Jesus' central message, but now he's going to tell it to the early church. He's going to continue to speak about the kingdom, but he's going to now give them an encounter so they can now declare and demonstrate the kingdom by the power of the Spirit. In my opinion, and I grew up in different persuasions on this, and my theological persuasions have changed over the years, but if nothing else, the day of Pentecost, which was last week, Acts chapter 2, came so that we would have the power to declare and to demonstrate the kingdom like Jesus did. Look at this. He spoke about the kingdom of God. It was the first thing Jesus ever said when he came upon the planet, Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. First thing he ever said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the last thing he tells his disciples before he goes to heaven. Those are his two bookends. Must have been pretty important. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, that's an immersion, that's an idea of saturation, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered, see the word kingdom, he's talking about spirit, talking about the kingdom, now he's talking about the spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still have the old mindset. What about the kingdom? What about the natural realm? What about the king that's really coming? Here's how he responds. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by this, his own authority, but you receive power. So they ask about the kingdom. He talks about the Spirit. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you know anything about the book of Acts, which I'm sure you do with Pastor Jim, is after chapter 2 with the encounter of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, the gospel went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to Rome, which was the uttermost parts of the earth. So what he's saying to them, I'm going to now endue you with power, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, so that you will have the power of the Spirit like I have the power of the Spirit. For what reason? So you, as followers of Jesus, can declare and demonstrate and advance the kingdom of God. Why is it important? It's very important. The experience of the fullness of the Spirit gave them the power of the Spirit for the purpose of the declaring and demonstrating the kingdom of God. We see this throughout the rest of the book of Acts. But again, we don't have time to go there, but it was an ongoing filling and an ongoing advancing. Ongoing, declaring. Why is it important? Back to my question. Why is the power of the Spirit important? I would say to you, biblically, it's important because it's what empowers us to do the work of the kingdom, which we are called to do individually and as his church. He gives us the fullness of the Spirit so we can declare and demonstrate the kingdom of God in the power of the Spirit. Why do we often shy away from this? The power of the Spirit, a lot of controversy in the church about this, and I think it's the enemy's greatest scheme, one of his greatest schemes. Let me give you two reasons real quick. Number one, fear of the unfamiliar. The work of the Spirit, and sometimes the power of the Spirit, takes us into areas that we are not familiar with. Somebody gave a great illustration, I'll give it to you right now. It's like my grandkids swimming in a pool that's very defined versus them swimming in a river that isn't. One's very familiar, one would be very unfamiliar. And when we swim, it's the same way. And there's certain things about the Spirit, no matter what your persuasion is, that at times the power of the Spirit will take us beyond our natural understanding and will lead us into things that we're not quite familiar with. Okay, so that's one reason. Second one is oftentimes the fear of flakiness, if that's a word, the fear of flakiness, that things oftentimes with people who are moving the power of the Spirit, It seems to be very mystical, very flaky, very white, way out there, very like, woo, 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 woo. They know the Spirit, maybe, but do they know the Word? Maybe not. Or is super, here's a good one. Sometimes super spirituality is simply a camouflage for lack of maturity. That was good. Fear of flakiness and fanaticism. Now, again, I grew up in a context where the moving of the Spirit was very common. That was my background. That was my experience. But I would be the first to say to you, oftentimes it can be flaky. And many people who move into it, sometimes it can really be fanaticism. And that makes us throw it out. But Luke 4:1 and Luke 4:14 and Luke 4:18 and 19 and Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 and the rest of the book of Acts will not allow us to throw it out. And it's the second part of the wheel. We need the power of the Spirit. We need the fullness of the Spirit to live and grow in the nature of Christ. We got to have that wheel. But let me appeal to you, that wheel and that wheel alone will not do what God's called us to do. We also need the power of the Spirit so that we have the enablement, the agency, the authority to do what God has called us to do, and that's the back wheel. We need people, and we need churches that have two wheels, that are living by the nature of Christ and living by the power of Christ. One more challenge, a point of clarity. I wrote it down because I want to be really clear in what I'm saying and what I'm not. And we're going to end. A point of clarity and a heartfelt challenge. Hopefully you've heard my heart. No matter what you believe about when or how the fullness of the Spirit happens in a believer's life, there's many different persuasions on that. And no matter what you believe about whether there is or isn't a physical sign that is an evidence of the believer's fullness, there's a lot of controversy around that. Or whatever you believe about the gifts of the Spirit in operation today or how they should operate today, there's a lot of controversy around that. So again, I believe the enemy has stole much of the power by sowing flakiness, fanaticism, and lack of clarity, so we're not hungry for the power. We cannot advance the kingdom in our own abilities. Church of the Open Door, no matter how many resources you've got and gifted leaders you have, we cannot advance, we cannot declare and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom apart from the power of God in operation in our life. A point of clarity. So biblically, we must believe that the fullness of the Spirit is so that we can serve in the power of the Spirit for the purpose of declaring and demonstrating the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, you, Jesus, you walked and you were the great example. And you didn't do anything without purpose. And as we've been unpacking this, your life in Luke, that you were full of the Spirit, breathing in, breathing out, letting the fullness of the Spirit lead you, control you, influence you. And that you were, as a byproduct of that, you looked to the Father, you were led by the Spirit to different places, to different regions, to different people, to different things. It was a very natural part of your life. But it was also that you came out of the wilderness, you came in the power of the Spirit. And you came in the power of the Spirit so that you could accomplish the mission that you were given. And that was to preach the kingdom, the good news to everybody. Hey, there's a way in. There is a rule and reign of God that we can all experience. You came to declare it, but also you walked around every place you went, and you also demonstrated it. Father, we feel in some ways that oftentimes one of the wheels of the bike has been ripped off. Yet you want us to be people who are becoming more and more like you. But we're also enabled by the work of the Spirit to be witnesses of your love, of your grace, of your hope, of your power, of your healing, of your deliverance, of your salvation. And Lord, I pray that for this, really this great church, that no matter what the persuasions are or have been, and we're not, that's not the issue, but we would say biblically, we must be full led and empowered by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, have a greater work in our life, individually, collectively, through this spiritual community. We ask that there would be an outbreak and a breaking in of the kingdom of God in this region, in other regions, in other places, other campuses, that everybody would say, this is beyond the natural ability. This is by the power of the Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name.